people are like, I don't even know if Jesus is real, because here's what I can tell you about this. If you'll stick around, if you'll keep breathing, if you'll keep living, God will show himself to you. A lot of pastors get all bent out of shape when somebody says, well, I don't even know if I believe in God. Look here, I'm not bent out of shape over that. I trust God. I trust God to be God, and I don't have a stress over me where I feel like I've got to do God's job. God does his job great, all on his own. I want to speak to you this morning on what I believe is a very relevant subject, and it is this right here. And I've heard a lot of it. I have felt a lot of it myself. But it's people don't know what to do when they feel alone. And it really kind of freaks people out, because they're like, oh my gosh, I'm alone. What do I, you know? And sometimes we feel alone in our emotions. We feel alone in our marriages. We feel alone sometimes in the church. We feel alone in our relationships. We feel alone maybe in our community. Sometimes we just feel alone, alone, alone. And so I want to speak to that person this morning. And I do want to say that if you are watching us on Facebook Live, what I do want to say to you precious people is this right here. I am going to, all this week, I'm going to pull up this service on my phone, and whatever prayer request that you put down in those comments, I'm going to put my hand over that phone, and I'm going to begin to call those prayer requests out to God. So if you have a prayer request, put it in the comments of this service. If you're here in the congregation today and you want to go back and put a prayer request, we are going to pray over those prayer requests all week long. And if there's something you don't want to share, just say, hey, I've got an unspoken prayer request. Amen. So we are talking this morning about what does the believer do when they feel alone. Now, one of the first aspects that I want to bring out in this message is this right here. And it's very important. Feelings are not facts. Okay, I want to pull that out, because there's too many believers that are going off of what they feel, and they are not going off of the Word of God. And the problem is that you will get into error very quickly if you go off of what you feel. Because I don't know about you, but I'm just going to tell you this, and if you are easily offended, then you're going to be offended in this service, because, well, easily offended people, they're going to get offended. That's what they do best. And if you're one of them, then you're one of them. But people, they go off of what they feel, and then they make life-altering decisions, and then their life gets all messed up, and then they want to blame God. Well, let me tell you something. God is not the author of confusion, and God is not a God of disorder. God is a God of order. But if you go off in left field and you make a bunch of decisions based off of how you feel, your life is going to get messed up, and that is not God's problem. That is not God's fault. That's on you. Now, if you are someone that cannot take responsibility for your actions and your decisions, then you're going to have a difficult time, because at the heart of who you are, in order to change, in order to go on and have a good life, what you have to be able to do is you have to say, you know what, when I made that decision, I was wrong. If you cannot admit a wrong, then that's where you need to start in your life. But today we are talking about being alone, and the first aspect that I want to pull out is that feelings aren't facts. Feelings are not facts. I cannot tell you how many times that I've gotten a call from somebody and they were upset, you know, in the church, and they would say, well, I just feel like nobody likes me. Well, and I'm going to say this very humbly, because how many of you know that I care more about the people in this church than almost I care about anything? I don't want to come off like I don't care about you, but I want to come off real, because people, they are dictated too much off of what they feel. There's only so much that I can do for your church experience. I cannot work out and live out your salvation for you. You've got to do that on your own. Okay? I am not Jesus Christ, and you are not going to heaven just because you're in this church service today. You have got to work out that salvation, and you have got to do it on a daily basis. Amen? A daily basis. So let's go to Matthew chapter 14 this morning. And we are going to begin at verse 13. And it says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And so one of the things that I want you to understand about being alone is it is not always a bad thing. It is not always a bad thing when you are alone. I'm not talking about if you've got a relationship. That's not the type of alone I'm talking about. But sometimes it's good if you're alone in that area of your life also until God can bring you the right person. But it is not a bad thing when you are alone, because a lot of your growth and a lot of the answers to the questions that you have, they can only come in God's presence. And if you are not actively getting in the presence of God and spending time with Him, then you are going to really struggle in your salvation with Him because you won't know Him. If you're not seeking Him out, if you're not having a relationship with Him, if you're not communicating with Him, if you're not talking with Him, if you're not reading His Word, if you're not working that salvation out, then you'll have a hard time knowing God. The Word says, now my sheep, not anybody else's sheep, but my sheep, they hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Now, we take our relationship with God, and let's kind of break it down to the dynamic in a marriage. Now, I would have a hard time being married to somebody if I didn't know them. Right? You will have a hard time in life if you call yourself a Christian and that's the basis of your salvation and that's it. There's something more than just saying, yeah, I'm a Christian person. There's a salvation that's got to be worked out. But it says here, when Jesus had heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. So I'm going to set the scene for what is happening here. John the Baptist, who loved Jesus dearly, it was Jesus' cousin, had just been beheaded. A lot of people don't realize the order of some of the things in the Bible, and that's why you want to get into the Word of God. But it says here, when he had heard what happened, he withdrew. Now here's the problem with a lot of people and a lot of their feelings and a lot of their feelings about being alone. When you are in a moment or a season of grief or chaos or high stress or anything negative in your life, here's some things that you need to do. It says when Jesus had heard what had happened, when he had heard that someone he loved was dead, when he had heard that someone that he loved was hurt, when he had heard bad news, what did he do? He withdrew himself and he went to a solitary place. When you get into your feelings and you're full blown and you're having a real touchy-feely season of your life, let me tell you something. What you do not need is to get on the telephone and tell everything to everybody and get some stupid advice and then do some stupid things with that advice that you got. What you need to do sometimes is you need to withdraw and you need to get that time with God to get yourself to a better standpoint, because there are too many bad decisions that are made in the heat of an emotional moment. There are too many bad choices that are made when we are high in emotion. Withdraw. What does that mean? Doesn't mean you quit. It means you're taking yourself out of that emotion. You're taking yourself out of that equation for a moment, and you're going to withdraw. I've had to do this many, many times as a pastor. I've been upset about things, and here's what I have noticed. The devil has a pattern. And you know, the word of God, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. See, the devil has a pattern that he likes to do with people. Now, what I have noticed is here's what the devil does with me. Come about Saturday night is when all the crazy things like to happen. Well, why is that? Because, see, the devil would love to steal the word before it ever gets to even come forth. Now, I had somebody a few weeks ago just text me and rattle the heck out of my chain, ruin my day, and then God spoke to me and he said this right here, you're done with that. You're done with it. Because after all, 100-something other people don't need to be suffering because of one person. And it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that we allow. Now, I love this person, and it's nobody in here. Y'all stop being nosy. Man, when my dad was the pastor of this church, I used to just sit there and think, who is he talking about? And I would just be sitting there. I'd write them people down. I'd be like, okay, let's do the process of elimination. Who is daddy talking about? Well, he said he talked to him last night, okay? He didn't talk to this one last night. And I would just really try to narrow it down because I'm a nosy person. But you know what? As God is my witness, I have become less and less nosy because I don't need that. I got enough problems without trying to figure out who's doing what. But you know what I did the past two weekends? I blocked that person Saturday morning. I unblocked them on Monday. And let me tell you why. They are not going to steal my joy. They are not going to steal the word that's supposed to come out. They're not going to steal the good spirit that God's putting inside of me to be the pastor of the church. Look here. Stop with it. Stop with it. There are certain things that are just patterns and they bring about negativity to your life. And then at the end of the day, you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm so alone. Well, I'm this. Well, I'm that. No, you're not, but that's how you're feeling. And you've got to get your feeling in check because that feeling is going to come and it's going to go. And there doesn't need to be any bad choices in between that feeling. So it says that when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place." Basically, we are out in the boonies, Jesus. And all these people have come to you, and now it's getting nighttime, and here we've got a problem. And it says, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. So the disciples were getting concerned about the people because they knew that those people were going to get hungry and need to eat something. So they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, we are out in the middle of basically nowhere. Why don't you dismiss the people? Why don't you send them out so they can go to the town and go and buy themselves something to eat? And Jesus said something very spot on. And he says it right here. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. You do it. You do it. Now, Joyce Meyer says this, and I think that it's worth repeating, and it's this right here. Don't ask God to do for someone that you can do yourself, because God has given you power, and he's given you authority. A few months ago, I was thinking, you know, I may want to get rid of some of this extra stuff that I have in the house that I'm trying to sell. Somebody came up and I knew figured out that they needed a bed. Now, Angel, here's what I did not do. I did not sit here having a house full of beds that aren't being used. I didn't say, oh, Lord God on the throne, please give these people some beds. Because look here, Brother Mike, God don't need to do it if I can do it. We don't need to sit here and ask God to do all this stuff because we're stingy and we don't want to give anything. Jesus told the disciples, why would you send them out? You get them something to eat. See, there's things inside of you that you've got inside of you that you don't even know are in there. And they're good things. And we're asking God, oh, God, can you do this? And God, can you do that? You know what? God loves to do things for His children, but He also loves His children to grow. And if God can cause you to be a blessing, if He can cause you to be a difference maker, which is what He wants to do, God will put you in a position to do just that. But He says, you do it. You do it. Well, they didn't know how. So He began to give them instructions. And here's what they said. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. And so Jesus said, bring them here to me. And He directed the people to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and He looked up to the heaven, and He gave thanks. And He broke the loaves, and then He gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. What you don't see here is the disciples saying, okay, God, you gave us some loaves, so we're happy. We're going to keep them. We're going to sit on our rear, and we're going to eat while we watch everybody else not eat. He took those loaves from a little boy's lunch. He looked up to heaven. He gave thanks. He broke them. And what did He do? He gave them to the people that He had appointed as disciples to go and distribute that stuff. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over, and the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So one of the things that I want you to see is when you get in a season of your life where you're hurting, where you're struggling, where you're in a time period where you're feeling alone or something bad has happened to you or in your family or at your job, you need to do what we see that Jesus did here. See, that was Jesus's cousin. And what did He do? He said, I need to go to a solitary place and I need to get alone. A lot of people will not do that. They will not just say, you know what? Hold on. I'm going to take a time out. I'm going to get alone with God. I'm going to have some conversations with God. I'm going to see what He wants me to do. A lot of people skip that step. And when they skip it, they don't have any direction. So they go off of their direction. That's how we get into error. Go with me now to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And it says here, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. I'm going to read that one more time. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, He left the house, and He went off to a solitary place where He prayed. So many times people say, well, I don't have time. I don't have any time to get alone with God. I don't have time to do this, and I don't have time to do that. You have time for what you're going to make time for. Amen. You have time for what you're going to make time for. The Word of God says, now where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the problem with what we say is I don't have time to do that. Here's the problem. Everything comes out and our life is on display because of our actions that we do. So people can see very clearly what your priorities are just by watching your life and watching what you do. But see, what I'm showing you in the Word is this right here. I'm showing you that even Jesus Himself had to do what I'm telling you that you need to do. Have alone time with God. Jesus got up. He got up early. Look here. Maybe you're alone time. Maybe you are on a busy schedule. Look, you may have to get up a little earlier. Ain't nobody amen in that but one person. I'll take it. I said, you may have to make some changes in your schedule to be able to put God first, to be able to spend some time with God.
Amen.
There may be some things you got to change up. Because see here, look here, if Jesus had to go off and get some prayer and get some renewal in some alone time, you're going to have to. There's no doubt. But you're going to make time for what you really cherish in life. You're going to make time for what's important to you. You know how many times, and I'm going to keep it real with you because look here, I don't want anybody coming to this church that's going to just think that they want to be critical about every little thing that I do, because here's the truth, Penny. I do a lot of oddball things, and if I've got somebody critiquing the heck out of me, they're going to find out real quick all sorts of faults that I have. But let me tell you something. At the end of the day, it is what it is. But very often, I get in on the rear end of people's problems. They don't want to include me at the front end. Pastor, will you pray? I'm going to do this, this, and this. They don't do that. After it's all hit the fan, then it's like, oh my God, Pastor. I zigged when I should have zagged, and look at this disaster that I've got over here. And then when I tell people, well, let me just tell you something. You're going to have to be faithful to God. You're going to have to be faithful. And there's a sacrifice to be faithful. Because you know what? That may interfere with what you want to do sometimes. There's folks that you'll say, well, where do you go to church? I have literally asked people where they went to church, and they would say Parish Christian Center.
What?
And I would go, oh, well, I'm Pastor Kelly. I have never met you before. I know when there's a piece of lint in this building. Now, who are you? But let me tell you something. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. You know what? Do not get mad at God when you, if you can look back in some of the last 3 or 4 months of your life and you see that there's been some things, do not get mad at God. Do not get mad at Him. Because 2 plus 2 is going to always equal 4. But we see over and over in the Word of God where Jesus, He got away. He got away. Everywhere He went, people knew Him. Everywhere He went, people wanted His time. Everywhere He went, somebody wanted something from Him. But you know what He did? He got away. He got away. So what does that mean? It means that us down here, we don't really have any excuses. We really don't. We don't have excuses. What we have is a problem with our priorities. Go with me now to Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 45. This, what I'm about to read to you, takes place after He fed all these people. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to Bethsaida while He dismissed the crowd. So here He was with all those 5,000 that He had just fed. He said, okay, disciples, get in the boat. Basically, I'm going to give you a head start. Get going. I want y'all to go. Go rest. Get to traveling. Go on. I'm going to sit here with the people. And it says, after leaving them, Jesus went up on a mountainside to pray. So after he found out that his cousin had died, then he went alone to a solitary place to get alone to pray. And then all these people come up and he fed them, the 5,000. He fed them. Then he says, okay, disciples, go. Get in the boat and go. After he dismissed all the people, he went on the mountainside to pray. Guess what? Sometimes what you're going to have to do in your life is when you're in a battle, you're going to have to climb that mountain and you're going to have to get to that place in your life where you say, you know what? I'm not going to do anything else until I have this moment and this prayer with God. I'm not going to do nothing else. I've done all this stuff. But God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to push anything else to the side, and I'm going to have some alone time with you. See, alone time is not bad, and so many people get so worked up when they feel alone. I remember that used to really, really bother me the other day. How many of y'all like Mexican food? My feet are up too. I love it. Well, I used to. Kelly, 5 or 6 years ago, would have never wanted to eat. I would have never wanted to eat by myself. That was just like, I didn't like it. Well, the other day, on, I think, Wednesday, I had gotten word that they were wanting to break ground this week on the Manna Center. And I had just done all this stuff with the food ministry, and then I knew I had church tonight. But you know what? I was hungry. And I said, Frank, do you want to go out to eat with me? Well, no, not really. Look here, I'm not messed up about it. I'm not depending on him to make me happy, because let me tell you something. At the end of the day, half the time, I don't even know what makes me happy. So I'm not going to put that pressure on him, because I understand that my joy and my happiness, that is not coming from a person. I said, honey, you don't want to go out to eat with me? That's fine. I'm going to go out to eat by myself. I walked up in there and I sat down. I wasn't messed up about it. I ordered me the biggest fajitas that they had. I said, excuse me, I want some shredded cheese in a little cup, because you can't have fajitas without the shredded cheese. I feel like that's like a mortal sin. And I just sat there and just had the best time. And I told God, it was so funny, because I said, Lord, this used to really bother me to be alone just for a moment. But God, I'm going to eat this up right now, because, Lord, I'm happy to just be alone with you. And I sat there. I was eating them fajitas. And I started picturing myself being able to give everybody a prime rib. And I was thinking, I don't think any other pastor in Logan County has that power to be able to do that. I'm not kidding. The highest sticker on one of those prime ribs was $96. I don't know about y'all, but I ain't spending $96 on nothing. Unless it's boots. Now, I mean, you know. I would do that. Not too often, but Moni, I started thinking about that. There I was, right there alone. There wasn't even anybody in the place. I started thinking about that, Kayla. I said, you know what, God? Thank you for this time with just me and you. Lord, my life is so busy. I'm glad to just be able to be here and eat fajitas with you. Then I started thinking about the Manna Center. Yes, and here's what I began to do with the little bit of time that I had. I began to look back and I began to think about all the things that God has done just here lately. And when I got up, I felt like $1 million. And I thought, you know what, God? I could not have felt this way unless I would have spent that time with you. How precious is alone time with God? It's the most precious time that you have. It's the most precious time that you have. And so what we see here in the Word is it says here that he went up to the mountainside to pray, and when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake. Now, I live on the lake now, and I would not want this problem. But it says here that the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. So here's Jesus. He sent the disciples out. He comes down off the mountain. It's dark, and he's seeing the boat, and it's in the middle of the lake. And it says here, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And I want to tell you something right now. Whatever you're in the middle of, God sees you, and he sees what you're going through. He sees that at some points in that battle that you're straining, he sees what you're in the middle of, and he knows exactly where he's taking you in your life. And there's times where you're right in the middle of the lake, you're right in the middle of the fire, you're right in the middle of catastrophe, you're right in the middle of chaos, and what you need to do is stop right where you're at and say, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I know that you see what I'm in the middle of. God, I'm not going to blame you. God, I'm not going to be mad at you. God, I'm not going to lay out of church. God, I'm not going to be a jerk just because of something that I'm going through, because God, I know that you see what I'm in the middle of. And God, you see me straining. You see me struggling. And God, I know that you're going to step in and that you're going to make a power move. So God, right now, I'm going to do what only I can do is just thank you for it. Get into that place where you stop blaming him and you begin to thank him. Thank him. You know how many times that I've come up against a wall? You know how many times you've come up against a wall? A lot. When you come up against those walls, begin to thank God. God, thank you. You do all things well. God, you know what you want to do in this situation. Alone time with him. So it says about the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. And immediately he spoke to them, and he said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Whatever you're up in the middle of today, Jesus is walking right there. He is not going to pass you by. He is not going to pass you by. He sees what you're in the middle of. He knows what exactly it's going to take to bring you to the other side. And here's something that he did that's so precious. In verse 51, then he climbed into the boat with them. He climbed into the boat with them. How many times have you been alone or you felt alone and Jesus climbed in the boat with you? Amen. See, so many times we're looking at our life when we're feeling alone and we're sitting there and we're thinking, I used to be bad at this. I used to get in the recliner and I used to just plop myself down and I would say, I just feel alone. Everything is bad. This is bad. This ain't going right. And before I knew it, I had done talked myself into a bad state of mind. Let me tell you something. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You need to be telling yourself the right thing. Christmas is a very lonely season for a lot of people, but I want to tell you today, you are not alone. The Word says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be with you. But there's times where you're going to find yourself in a season and you feel alone. Don't let that trip you up. I go into the jail and minister on Mondays. I love those girls. And I always, when I walk through the door, Kayla, I always think this one thought every week. So these are the women, God, that you scooped up and you put up in here to have some time with them. And I ask them, how much were you talking and spending time with God when you weren't in jail? Well, I wasn't at all. How much are you talking with him now every day? Let me tell you something. Sometimes in the worst of the worst is when we find the best of the best. Amen. God will make a message out of a mess. He'll make the lemonade out of the lemon. And all those other cliche little snarky things that I could possibly ever say when you get my drift. But just because you're having a season of difficulty, just because you're having a season where you feel alone, look here, that's not a bad thing. You need to capitalize on that season and spend more time with God. Set aside time to be with him. And what he does in those moments, in those times that we set aside to spend with him, he takes our heart that sometimes gets so messed up and he cleans it up. And then he may have to take some things out of it. But then what he does is he fills us up. Some of you, you're running on empty and you're tired. Not even physically tired, necessarily, but you're just emotionally spent. You need to spend some time with God. There is nothing that can ever take the place of time with God. Amen. That time is precious, and there are things done in that time that cannot be done in any other way. Any other way. I remember in the beginning of when God called me and made me pastor. Alyssa, I was in a season where I felt very alone. I had gotten myself into a depression. And there was a week where I just couldn't even get off of the couch. I didn't even take a bath for like 4 days. And at the end of that, I began to cry out to God. God, help me. God, I'm in the middle of something. I don't know if I'm strong enough to work out of it. And you know how I felt, Sherry? I felt like God literally got on the couch with me and wrapped me up. And he said, Kelly, all you got to do today is just get off the couch. That's it. Get off the couch. Go get a shower. We're getting out of this. We're moving on. I can preach about depression because I've experienced it and I experience it still. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have a wave of sadness just come all over you for no reason. I get it. I understand it. What I'm telling you today is that in the middle of all that, God is there. You may not see any physical people around you. You may not have any. You may feel alone, but that feeling is not a fact. God is there with you right there. You can talk to him. You can cry out to him. You can tell him all about it. Go with me now to Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man, and he said, I am willing. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, and as do this as a testimony to them." Verse 15, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses." Verse 16, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." This wasn't something that he did on Christmas and Easter. This wasn't something he did when he was having trouble. This is something that he did often. Amen. He did it often. Amen. "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Withdraw when you need to and regroup.
Amen.
Amen. He went off by himself. Sometimes we have too many people around us and they are influencing us in a way we should not go. This was something that he often did. He got alone and he prayed.
Thank you, Lord.
He got alone and he prayed. I know in the very beginning of the ministry, this was something that my dad did on a regular basis, was he would go into the mountains. He would go and he would pray. And God began to show him what this ministry was supposed to look like. See, God wants some alone time with you. There's times where, Moni, we're going to feel alone, and we need to get ourselves in a moment where we're spending time with God. But see, God wants time with you, and you should be wanting time with Him. I know that I have a very tight schedule, and Jill, at least once a week, here's what Frank and I try to do, and we don't always get to do it. But we really try. I say, I'm going to try not to get ourselves wrapped up in doing anything today because I just want to spend time with you, Frank. Why do I do that? Because I care about our relationship. And I want to nurture it and I want it to be healthy and whole. What should we do as a child of God? We should set time out on a daily basis to spend time with Him. Cindy's back there poking Sam. You better be doing that, Sam. I'm not going to cause any marital fights today. I'm just telling you what Frank and I try to do. But he withdrew. He withdrew. You know, there's been a lot of times over the past 2.5 years where I got really discouraged about our Manna Center. And every time I would get discouraged about it, I would just withdraw. I would just withdraw. You know why I did that, Kayla? Because I didn't want anybody to be able to whisper any type of nonsense in my ear. Because what I wanted was I wanted to be able to hear what God said. Because let me tell you something, what He says is the only thing that really matters. There's big things coming in our lives, but what they're going to take is they're going to take us putting aside time to be with God. God wants to give you direction in your life about what you're going through. But if you won't take any time to be with Him and to hear what He says, you're going to not know. You're not going to know where to go, what to do. Alone time with Him. Alone time with Him. Isaiah chapter 40, Verse 31, this is the last place for me. And I'm actually going to start in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30. And I'm going to read 30 and 31. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, or those who wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. See, what happens when you're spending that time with God? You're walking out of that moment with Him, and your strength is restored to you. He will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. See, a lot of our problem right now is people are weary. They're weary. They're stressed. They're weary. They feel weighed down. They that wait on God, those whose hope is in the Lord, they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. They will walk and not be faint. See, sometimes when you're walking on your own ability and your own strength, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. But when you include God in the equation, you're going to run and not be faint. I encourage y'all to have alone time with God. I remember in the beginning of January, I preached a message, Getting Well, and I did a series on getting well. Part of us being well is spending that time with God. Now what I want to do is I have prayer cloths here. If anybody wants an anointed prayer cloth, you can come up and get one. But I want to do one especially for Russell, because Russell has just had a surgery and he's struggling. So y'all stretch your hands this way. Russell is Penny's husband. God, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over Russell right now. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you are the great physician. And so right now, what I ask, God, you know exactly where he's at. And Lord, I ask for a wave, God, to flow to wherever he is right now and relieve him of the pain that he's feeling in his body. God, I thank you, Lord, that he walks in divine health. Lord, what the enemy intended for bad for this recovery, Lord, I thank you that you've caused it to turn out for his good. And God, he feels better today. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody else wants a prayer cloth or any type of thing, you can have one for another person. You can have one for something that you're going through. If you'd like a prayer cloth, I'm going to stand up here and I will hand them out. Don't know, everybody come at once, and nobody has to come. I'm not counting.